Advisory board. Looks like we have a quorum. And let's move to adopt the agenda. Are there any such motions?
To approve the agenda.
I second. Oh, sorry.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Everybody turn on there.
Doug, say aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
We do have a visitor communication section.
Microphone.
Are there any visitors who wish to be noted who have something to discuss that's not on the agenda? Okay, great. Did you guys all have a chance to go over the minutes from the last meeting? Excellent. If there's a motion to approve the minutes.
I move to approve the minutes.
I second.
All in favor of approving the minutes from December 7th, say aye.
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 Welcome, Asa. Scott, we'll turn it over to you for SDC charges.
Okay. Yeah, just before we get going, I just wanted to note that those meeting minutes are actually December 6th, just for the record.
Thank you.
My error there. I'm sure it'll be something that somebody will take issue with someday. But so anyways... yeah, we got a packed agenda for you tonight. We'll kind of get to the point here. The first item on the agenda is talking about Parks SDC charges, system development charges. We just recently updated and adopted an updated Parks Master Plan with a whole range of new park improvements and amenities, and those things cost money. And we have a capital improvement plan in there as well that itemizes all those and comes up with some numbers that it's going to take to complete all those improvements. And so typically with that, after a update of a master plan, we typically look at what our SDC rates are. And SDCs, again, for you, those who don't know, are charges that are charged on building permits, basically to kind of help pay their way for growth, pay for their impacts that they create. We charge them for transportation, water, sewer, and parks. And so this is the time that we have designated to kind of analyze what our existing parks SDC rates are and how sufficient they are in order to be able to pay for all the things that we have approved in our Parks Master Plan. So we have brought forth to help us out a consultant who is an expert in system development charges to help us with that analysis. And he's going to give us a presentation today to kind of tell us where we are and what kind of increases we might be looking at to help pay for things, and what things are SDC eligible and what aren't, because the laws say that SDCs can only pay for increasing capacity to your system. They can't pay for fixing old deficiencies. So it's kind of forward looking. So he'll have some comments relative to that. Before we do that, I'll just turn over to Paul for some more comments and maybe an introduction of our consultant.
Thanks, Scott. I don't have a lot to add to that, other than we are, as part of this process, we're changing not only the cost amount per SDC, you're changing the methodology, and Steve will walk us through that. And when you change your methodology on how you calculate and assess SDC.
Hey, Paul, I'm sorry to interrupt, but could you bring the mic over to you? Can't hear you. Thank you.
Who is that?
Emmy.
That's Emmy. And that's better. Thank you.
So we're required to provide a 90-day notice and hold a public hearing. We've already started that 90-day clock, and what it does is allows interested people, mostly the building community, who would be interested in fees going up, right, to be able to engage, provide comments, feedback, and work with staff and our consultant on making sure everything is legit and, I's are dotted, T's are crossed. So with that, I'll turn it over to Steve Donovan with Donovan Enterprises. He has done SDC work for us on our transportation SDCs, on our water and sewer multiple times, and first time with parks. But he's very familiar with with all of our master plans and the current parks master plan as well. So, Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Can I share my screen? Let's see here. Let me get my, can you see me on your screen right now?
No.
How about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have in your packets a PowerPoint presentation?
Yes.
Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to, if I'm allowed, I'll share my screen and I'll run the PowerPoint from here, if that's okay with everybody.
That's great.
Everybody see this?
Not quite yet.
No. Not yet, Steve.
Okay, let's see here if I can get it up. Let's see.
All right, we can see your Zoom window.
Okay. How about now?
Yes.
There we go.
There you go. Okay, sorry about that. I'm an expert, trust me. Okay, what I want to talk about today is Parks SDCs, and Parks SDCs are a bit different than water and sewer and transportation because of what we call a level of service approach to this. And we'll talk about the history and the background of your Parks SDCs, the policy issues. There are very, very important policy issues. And then we'll loop into the 2023 Parks Master Plan Capital Improvement Plan, which is quite substantial. And then the specifics of the details. And then we'll do a forecast of what we're proposing relative to what other communities are charging in other neighborhoods in Central Oregon. So first and foremost, let's talk about the history. The city has been charging SDCs for a long time. And the last methodology update was done in 2011. And that was updated against the 2016 Parks Master Plan update. And just to give you a sense of scale, back in 2016, the estimated population was 2,315 people. And the total master plan capital improvement plan was just $2 million. Now we're going to zoom forward here to 2024. And as Scott had pointed out, you have completed a new parks master plan. Was adopted by the council in April, this spring of 23. And the estimated service population in 2023 was 3,778. So quite a jump. But look at the size of the master plan, capital improvement plan. It went from $2 million in 2016 to $14.4 million now. And the other key point of the Parks Master Plan is a recommended level of service of 5 acres of parkland per 1,000 population. Keep that in mind. This is a real critical pivot point. And as we loop through this presentation, this level of service is the bar that we have to achieve to make SDCs. So as you can see, the level of service is the guiding force here. And based on this 5 acres per 1,000 of population, your current service level is below that. So you are what we call park deficient as a community, and you're not alone. There's many, many communities across the country that are in this same boat when you apply a level of service. So what we have to do is do a test, a balancing, as SDCs were based on planned future project costs, but we also have to take into account any deficiencies that are in the existing system. So let's take a look at the policy. And I think most of you folks know what SDCs are, but let's talk about the X's and O's of it. In terms of who pays, only new development pays system development charges. Ratepayers don't pay it. Taxpayers don't pay it. It's only a charge against future development. And it's charged at the time of permit issuance. And it consists of three components: a reimbursement fee, which is a fee that we would charge developers to buy into existing built capacity. And as I just pointed out, you don't have any capacity remaining in your system, so we can't charge a reimbursement fee. The improvement fee is for planned future capacity that that they're going to buy into. Hence that $14 million capital improvement plan that we just talked about. And then there's a compliance fee. The statute allows cities to charge a compliance fees to be in compliance with the statute. And there are things that the city has to do relative to accounting and reporting of SDCs. Use of SDCs. SDCs under Oregon budget law are restricted. You can't use them to pay for operations and maintenance. You can't pay them to pay overheads on general fund. It has to be paid directly into a separate account or fund and has to be restricted for the purpose of paying for planned future capacity. There's also, as I've just pointed out, an annual reporting requirement and an accounting requirement. Now, in terms of the policy issues, what we do, and Paul, we've been going through this, Paul and Scott, we've been talking about it quite a bit. What we calculate based on the statute is the maximum price that we can charge for system development charges. That does not mean the council has to charge that level. So they have to strike a balance from a policy standpoint for growth paying for growth and attracting smart growth and living jobs, yet balance that against existing customers subsidizing growth. And the council is clearly aware of this. So this very small table here, and I apologize for the font size, this is the capital improvement plan. And I know you're all familiar with this because you were involved in seeing the Parks Master Plan and you've been involved in projects, but this is effectively, I think it's 17 projects requiring, based on the scale of it, about 41 new acres of parkland and $14 million worth of expenditures. A vast array of projects in the master plan, and each project is identified in the plan. So here we get down to calculation of the reimbursement and the improvement fees. Once again, we use this bar, this 5 acres of parkland per 1,000 of population is the level of service that we aspire to. Based on today's population of 3,778 people estimated, and you're having 7.02 acres of parkland, you have a current service level of 1.86 acres per 1,000, quite a bit below the 5 acres that is our bar, our recommended level of service. So this just by math shows that you are deficient relative to your level of service requirement, not requirement, recommendation. So what we did then is we took a look at what's going to happen in 20 years. And in 20 years, based on the population growth of going out to 6,917 people and keeping that bar of 5 acres per 1,000 of population, by 2042, we should have an inventory of 34.59 acres of parkland. You only have 7 today. So in order to make up for that deficiency, you're going to need to add 18.89 acres to the total to bring you up to your level of service that's required. And then growth would pay for 15.7 acres of that total 34.5 acres. So relatively speaking, of that $14 million capital improvement plan, only 45% of it can be going to the SDC calculation. 55% of it is going to have to come from somewhere else. And like many communities in the country now, the tax base is not getting it covered and parks are going to a fee base. And we're seeing that across the country where fees for service are now being instituted, where parks are almost being treated like a utility. So when we do the math, we crunch the numbers, and for a single family home, which is I think what you're really interested in here, you currently charge $1,193 for a single family home based on the master plan, capital improvement plan, and the level of service bar. We're recommending you raise that to $3,676. And for multifamilies, it would be lower. It would be a duplex, $1,910. And a triplex, 3,820, and it would go on thereafter. So really what we're talking about is a multiple based on dwelling units. And then finally, here is a relative chart for single family homes of what other communities in your neighborhood are paying. And as you can see, you currently charge $1,193. Even with a recommended increase to $3,676, you would be at the lower end of the pack relative to Bend, Redmond, Prineville, and the other communities. Lapine doesn't charge anything. So think of that too. So that's all I had from a presentation. I'd be glad to answer any questions that you've got now.
I have a question. Can we phase this in, or is this one time and you have to live with it?
Oh, absolutely. You can phase it in. And that's a strategy that many communities do. That would be up to the city council. And I believe this phasing in is Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, but that may be a recommendation that we might hear from COBA, the Central Oregon Builders Association. But it is a common thing to do.
So you build in like, what, 10% a year or something, and or 20% a year until you get to your goal or something? Is that how it works?
We never have.
I know, but.
So we go typically July 1.
Okay.
Give everybody a heads up so they can get their building permits in ahead of time if they need to. But the farther you push it out, the less SDC revenue.
I get you.
And when growth needs to pay for growth, you're losing that balance.
Yeah. How many acres the sisters have right now, just in general?
7.02.
No, I mean, well, we are. How big is this?
2.2 square miles, approximately.
How many acres is that? When he said 38 acres of parks, that scared me.
Put it in my calculator.
640 acres per square mile.
Okay.
So figured 14.
Okay.
1500.
Got it.
But we're also, and you know, previous parks boards, previous city councils have recognized that. Yeah, we don't have the acreage in town,
right?
Because we're surrounded by 200,000 acres of
exactly
parkland.
But the level of service does not take that into calculation at all, correct? And there's no way around that. There's no.
Well, you could reduce the level of service. That recommendation came through the Parks Master Plan. That's all it was a recommendation,
right?
So I think what council's going to want to hear from you is, yes, we believe we need to have more parks, and we think 5 acres per 1,000 is where we need to be, or 3 acres, or, you know, whatever, and get that recommendation.
The last time
Ms. Gary, I'm sorry, go ahead. In terms of the SDCs, you know, 5 was a number we put in to bring us to the minimum level that is recommended by some of the national organizations. And what I'm hearing today is if we were to choose, and it's hypothetically speaking, please, if we were to choose to reduce that level of service recommendation, say to 3 acres, then the differential would be more favorable to SDC reclaiming as we move forward. Would that not be correct, Steve?
That's absolutely correct.
And so, as we think about recommendations to the city council, or as you think about, because I'll be not recommending, I'll be listening to the city council, it may be that we might want to re-examine that level of service number in order to be more efficient in the collecting of SDCs to pay for these improvements, because the improvements that are going to need to happen if they're not covered with SDC fees will be coming out of the general fund budget or through grants and other things. And that's a lot harder nut to crack when we're competing with the other things that are occurring in town. So just keep that in mind. I've worked with SDCs when I was with Willamette Lane, and very comfortable with what we're doing. Our number is significantly lower than our sister areas. So council will decide if they want to phase it in or if they want to do the whole amount. But my recommendation, based on my experience with SDCs, is you set the number and that's what you go with. That a phase in doesn't really do you any good other than encouraging more building, which is not a bad thing, except right now we don't have a lot of places to encourage that building to happen. So So I'll be quiet and let you go back to what you're doing.
The last time you guys raised SDCs, what was the pushback from the building community?
Basically, what we're going to hear now, phase it in, give us 6 months, you know, that type of. But I mean, COBA represents the building community, so they're gonna lobby for them, right?
Right.
So they don't like fee increases at all.
I think they've also raised the idea of factoring in like school-owned land and private parks into the calculations, which is something that we have not.
For the LOS?
For the level of service, yeah, to factor in those. But we've typically those types of parks are not factored into your level of service typically because you don't always have access to them and can't guarantee that.
I think it's important to remember that, you know, to come up to our current level of service, Steve said we need 25 additional acres. That seems like a lot. We got 18 acres out of the Lazy Z that once we develop that, that isn't going to take a lot of money. That gets us a long way there. And we didn't count the over 7 acres at Creekside Campground. So we're not going to be that far off. And the capital improvement plan going from 2 million to 4.3, you take out the pickleball courts, it's not that big of an increase in a CIP. Once you take out the 10.3 million for the Northwest Playground.
Right. That's the big,
one.
That's the big one. Yeah.
Yep.
And I would also add to that, we are gaining additional park space, again, not ours, but accessible to the community when the elementary school becomes property or location for SPRD. They're going to have some acreage there that will be dedicated towards game use, sort of the things we'd be doing in a park. And we already programmed for them in our parks, and I suspect that we can count those towards our LOS if we choose.
And council's going to be wrestling with a UGB expansion. So as part of that, that's an opportunity to negotiate through the annexation process to get parkland donated to us. So there's opportunity there.
Any other questions for Steve?
I guess I would ask if
hold it down.
If the SDCs are going to fund the capital improvements, is there any other funding in the foreseeable future that's going to kick in a bond measure or any other type of funding that's, you know, say 2-3 years, 4 years down the road that's going to impact that too? Say, you know, oh, we don't have enough with SDCs. We need more funds for some of these capital improvements.
We're not anticipating that in this analysis. It's always possible to, you know, get a grant. Going out for a bond is a potential thing to do, although it's tough in this town because we are so bond heavy with the school district, and we don't want to compete with that. So we try to cash fund our things. But and then also financing is also a possibility. And you're using, you know, general fund dollars and potentially park SCC dollars to serve that debt that you'd be taking on. But as part of this analysis, this is completely STC paid for in the next 20 years.
Okay, thank you.
I don't have a question, just a comment.
You were on.
I was on.
Having been on council when we went through this last master plan, the same chart showing the City of Sisters fees against Lapine and Prineville and Madras and Bend. My recollection, and it's just mine, it's not council as a whole, was that we were proud of the level of service that we provided at that low fee, the SDC fee. But in hindsight, it's cost us a great deal because now that's a bigger gap to fill. And so my recommendation would be to try to meet the 5 acre per thousand unit. There's a lot of future projects that Paul mentioned that are planned for, that are coming online, that are a lot of land mass. And I know that prior councils had looked at and had made comments about if and when an urban growth boundary expansion happens, those new developments could have, should have, a park built in that's open to the public. And so that helps get us to that level. My concern is if we don't say we're trying to get 5 acres per thousand, we're going to still be at the level of service that we have now that is hidden because of the Forest Service property surrounding the whole city. And so it feels like we have a lot of park, but it's a different type of park. That's it.
Thank you, Steve. That was a really great presentation. Thanks for answering our questions.
Great, you bet.
Kind of summary direction you want to give to the council on
that? Yeah, that's a lot to take in and summarize.
How does this affect the master plan?
Turn on your speaker.
How does this affect the master plan for parks? I mean, we're short funds to reach level of service, and there's all these other projects coming on board. Or are they, I mean, how is it going to?
It just means that we're going to have to be creative in terms of how we fund those things, or if we, or revise the capital improvement plan. You know, the big chunk is that park, 10 million of it.
Right.
That's a huge one. So in the master plan, it does talk about different funding sources out there that we might be able to take advantage of. So, those park master plans are always, we can always update them, right? If we find out that, certain things aren't feasible or we have different priorities, but we try to base everything off of what the parks master plan, what the results of that were, because that was the result of a community process, and we want to honor that as much as we can.
Paul, did I get that right? It was 2016 the last time you did it?
Correct.
So things have really appreciated since 2016, haven't they? I mean, does this SDC fund correlate with the appreciation of the property values? I mean, it's doubled. I mean, it goes from, 1,900 to 3,500 or something, but how does that compare to the value of the property in the home?
They're not based off of property value. It's literally per dwelling unit. So it doesn't matter if it's an apartment or, a 5,000 square foot house, they pay the same amount. I think what we've seen that's really appreciated is inflation and the cost of these projects. That's been the biggest effect on CIP shows. Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. Sorry I couldn't be there in person. I'm on a work travel trip, but happy to be here remotely. So listening to the conversation, it seems like the big opportunity here is taking advantage of the conversations around the urban growth boundary and trying to really get the park's perspective plugged into that early and often, from what I'm hearing.
Yeah. I mean, Nancy, you're in the let's raise the level of service camp, right?
Yes.
How are the other council members feeling about that? Given that we kind of already went through this last year.
You mean board members?
Board members.
Park advisory board?
Yeah.
I feel that we should continue with the work that we've put into the master plan and fund what we've got on the plate.
Yeah, and go for it.
And yeah, move forward. It seems very reasonable to me.
I agree. Yeah, I think we should. My recommendation would be to raise the level of service to 5 acres.
Emily?
I agree with that as well.
Asa?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement that makes the most sense. So
service costs money.
Yeah. I'd be curious. Yeah, I'm curious. Having never gone through this, what the pushback is going to be when you get that from the Builders Association or whatever. But they also probably you know what's happening in the economy and know that everything has doubled or tripled or whatever. I mean, that's what this is, like you just said. So, yeah, I think we would recommend as a board to raise the level of service to five or keep it as it is in the master plan and just make sure that's the goal moving forward. I like what you said, Paul, about all those acres coming on, because that's my biggest worry is where do the acres come from in our limited. That's why I asked about the size. But yeah, you're right. Like if we do bring on the larger parcels at some point, that'll account for a lot of it.
Yep.
And the caveat to that, or in addition to that, it's like there's also that $10 million park that we're just thinking about that is an idea at this point. So, you know, I don't know what we can do about that. Yeah.
Well, and I would speak from a council perspective that I wouldn't get too concerned at this level about the pushback we might get from the Builders Association. That's really a political problem for the council. I will say that in my 13 years with Lamellane and dealing with SDCs, we got pushback when we raised them. And we've already, in looking at some of our other SDCs, I've heard from COBA about their opinion on them. So it's part of the process. And I think you should forward what you think is the best recommendation and then let council decide how best to handle that. That's probably the way to do it.
I like that. It's not our problem, it's your problem.
It's mine.
Oh, I appreciate that. Our job is to care about the parks, and I think we're doing that, right? That's our job, right? And we've told you that, yeah, that matters, and let's bring up the level of service where it's only slightly deficient, and we can move forward from there.
I did wish I asked him a question because it talked about single unit houses. What about like apartment complexes?
Yep, that's on there.
But like affordable housing is really what I was getting at, since that seems to be the biggest, a big issue in Sisters as well. And I guess it doesn't.
Go ahead. So that's a good question, Asa. So how the city handles or has been handling those kinds of requests in the past is not to waive or reduce SDCs for affordable housing projects, but we have an affordable housing grant fund. That's funded by a portion of our transient room tax, and affordable housing developers can apply for that, and they often use that to help pay for their SDCs.
Okay,
nice. Great. Is that a good answer? I mean, do you need something else from
the board? Okay. Anything else? I think it's clear consensus on the 5 acres. Any opinions on the rates at all? Like, I mean, they are what they are.
They are what they are, right? Yeah. I asked the question about phasing in just to be nice to the builders, but, you know, now I don't care. Because I just built the house. But yeah. All right, Scott, you want to move on to the next agenda item?
Sure, yeah. So this is a proposal from the Sisters Community Garden to request use of city park space to relocate the community garden facility that currently exists out at the airport on a piece of land owned, private piece of land that they have used for quite a while, that they have just recently got notice that they have to vacate. They do have one more growing season, but that's spring of 2025, I think, is what they're looking for a new spot. So they're starting early so that they can do some of this planning, and the parcel that they've sort of honed in on is the Sun Ranch Park parcel. You guys all know where that is, north of town, off of Sun Ranch Drive, is their preferred location. You saw the site plan, conceptual site plan that they put into the packet. It shows a total of 49 garden plots, a greenhouse, tool storage, wash sink and tables and porta potties within an in fence area, and then to keep the deer out, 6 foot high deer fence, and then some areas outside of the fence that would be more of a kind of a have some public access space, and kind of more, even though they said that they're open to having the whole thing be open to public access, that area outside may be more of kind of a an area that could attract the general public with kind of a shelter of some sort for picnic and some trails and maybe some education opportunities. So we've met with them a few times and gotten an idea of kind of what they're looking for. And we had some questions that we brought up and some concerns initially that they responded to. And kind of understand a little bit better what the requests are that they're looking for help from the city. So just kind of tying this back to the Parks Master Plan, in terms of what its recommendations were for this kind of use, there in the Parks Master Plan, there was an interest from the community to have a publicly accessible, rentable community garden space. One of the policies says, where appropriate, support inclusion of community garden spaces and work with local community groups and public entities to support development of neighborhood and community garden programs. Some of the recommended spots were Sun Ranch Park, Creekside Park eastward expansion, and the future Northwest Park. And then another policy says, provide opportunities for community garden plots in different city quadrants, support construction of fencing, gates, and secure access to potable water where community interest is present. Alternatively, work with the Sisters Community Garden to support expansion and improvement of amenities and utilities at existing locations as need increases. So there is quite a bit of support in our Parks Master Plan for this kind of concept. The question is, I guess, where and under kind of what conditions and circumstances. So some of the questions that we had initially were, you know, how do the, and I think the, you know, the Parks Board might have kind of provided some questions as well in the past when they came forward at public comment in the past, but how do the reservations for the plots work? Is there a reservation system? Is it prioritized for city residents? That kind of thing. And I think the response is right now that it is not just open to city residents. It's open to residents from Sisters Country and anybody else who would want to drive a long ways to do the garden. But the majority of the people, I think, are local. Do they charge for the plots? I think they charge a pretty minor fee. They can, when they come up, we'll give an opportunity for the garden representatives to speak in a few minutes, and they can kind of touch on some of those specifics. You know, we want to know who does the maintenance. We want to know where their responsibilities, you know, are and what they're asking for us. I think that we want to kind of reduce our responsibilities. We've already, you know, got our hands full with the existing park. So I think we'd be looking for something that is of little or no maintenance on the city part. And I think they've agreed to that. So there were some questions about, you know, how does it work when a nonprofit is requesting use of a public facility? So we did some research with some other communities to kind of see how that does work. And there are some examples and some templates for how that could work here too. Talked about liability and the need for potentially for insurance to protect the city. And then we brought up a concern early on about the garden being located near the city's well. Just to the south of that is our well 4 building. Three, that's close. need to come up with more descriptive names of these things, I think. you know, therein lies an issue, a potential issue that we're going to need to work through. And there are state statutes that guide what things can happen within 100 feet of a well. The Oregon Department of Water Resources, I think, is what the body that regulates us. Oregon Health Authority regulates us. And there are some requirements in terms of making sure that pollutants don't get into our water system. Makes sense. Specifically chemicals, and it says including solvents, pesticides, and fertilizers within 100 feet. And so we've been, I think that's an issue that we're going to have to continue to work through with these guys. It could potentially be a major issue, and it's not something we want to mess around with our water supply, but we just kind of have brought more information to light, and I think it's an issue that we're going to have to continue to work with you guys on. So I just wanted to note that, in terms of, some other issues, we're still trying to ascertain that, we have legal access to the property. It's along an alley. If you guys have all been out there, there's a little alley that serves access to this parcel. The city's well, building has access off there. It's not clear that we do have legal access. The owners of the Sun Ranch Lofts, I think is what they call there's 4 little lots to the west that this alley actually goes across their property. It's not clear completely that we have legal access to it. So that's another issue we're gonna have to look into. So as mentioned, we got examples of some of the agreements that Bend Parks and Recreation District use on their Hollins Head Park. The OSU Extension Office has a community garden there that they have an agreement with. Miller's Park, Miller's Landing Park, there's another community garden there, and they have agreements that spell out different roles and responsibilities of the two groups. And it seems like you know, we could tailor something to our needs as a city to make sure that the needs of the city are met, as well as the community garden, and come up with an agreement on something that's acceptable. So I think there's, the point is there's precedents out there, and there's, it's being done, and I think it could be done here under the right circumstances. So essentially right now we're just looking for feedback from the Parks Board. Ultimately it'll be up to City Council to decide if they want to approve this location and how much city funding they'd like to go into helping out the parks or the community garden. There's a request for you know, having water extended to the garden site. Well, we have the well site close by, so we do have water, but there'll be some costs incurred in terms of getting a service line out there. And then there's a request for electricity, because they do in a greenhouse have to keep I think it's cool in the summer, I think is the requirement. So there's a need for electricity, and you know, and we still need to, if this site turns out to be acceptable, and there's still some big questions about that, kind of the details of, you know, other park facilities. Does the city help pay for some of the paved parking or the shelter facility, you know, those things of that nature.
Yeah, I was curious about that. In your research, you said Bend Parks and Rec pays for water, trash, and garden debris removal. Like, I wanted to get Paul's take on that. Like, is that something you do at all the other parks? And this would just be another park, kind of?
No, I see this being more of a private use of a public piece of property.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Did you have anything to add to that, Paul? So I know I told the representatives from the garden, if they wanted to make some comments and kind of give their perspective, then we would allot some time for that. So if you guys are, Eli, if you're okay with that.
Yeah.
If you do want to make any comments, if you wouldn't mind coming up to the dais here, or if not, that's fine too. You.
Oh, I have questions.
Yeah, we got questions. Go on up there, we'll ask some questions. Head on up there, Willa. and we did appreciate you answering Scott's questions in that written form. That was good.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, good.
Emily, did you want to? Yeah.
Emily. Yeah. Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. Mimi Schaefer. I'm the president of the garden. Nancy is vice president and greenhouse manager. I mean, Nancy, you want to stand up? And Janie Boyle, she's our garden manager. And Nancy's for greenhouse.
Fantastic.
And vice president as well. So I may call on them to answer some of your questions.
Absolutely. And thank you for being here tonight. And so I'm Emily Curtis. I'm the vice chair of the board. And I first of all want to start out saying that I am in support of a community garden space in Sisters. I do have some, like maybe just ideological concerns about private use of public land. And then also just kind of the considerations of the nearby residents. I just have some questions. So I was wondering about the porta potty location. I have two concerns, like the setback off of the adjacent landowner's property. So my background is in recreation management on forest lands, and those, especially in an open area like that, will smell, sadly. And so I just want to like kind of raise that. And then also with the well consideration, this is maybe more for the city. If there is a porta potty spill when they're being pumped or otherwise, is that what's the, I don't know if it's far enough away from the well, but that is more of a consideration. Would you be open to having a different placement of the porta potties?
Certainly. The design that we have, that we gave to the council, I mean, that we gave to the Parks Advisory Board, is a preliminary, preliminary design. Trying to fit into that acreage was a question for ourselves, whether we could fit all the things that we need to run the garden that we have now in there. And so we actually, Janie put it together in 2 days. So, I mean, it's open for all sorts of adjustments, awesome. Like even with the 100-foot setback from the corner of the the garden itself. So we could adjust that. And the porta potty, just for your information, we have it for the summer only. It's June to September. Mm-hmm. We've used a local provider for the last 5 years that I've been there.
Okay.
And we haven't had any spills or anything.
Oh, good.
But I can understand it would be a concern. Yeah. And we had the questions when we talked to Scott and who else did we talk to? Jeremy?
Jordan,
at the time, and saying, you know, would the parks want to have, does the park have to have a toilet? Would they like to have a real flushable toilet like they have at Clemens Park, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we talked about that. And at this point in the negotiations and thinking, that's what we're thinking about the porta potty. Mm-hmm. It would probably be for the high use area, high use time, June to September 1st or September 15th, and it would be gone. And we are, we would be open to moving it and changing it if it was something of a real concern. Yeah, this is the design that we have now is definitely our first go around at it just to see for ourselves whether we could fit it into that space, yeah. Which is a tricky deal as it is. So,
yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. And yeah, I guess I would just want to see what mitigations put in place for.
Yeah.
For that.
And we would too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're growing.
We are organic.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And what was your other question about the setback?
Oh, yeah. What is, I know it sounds like this is a preliminary plan. I would just also want to make sure that consideration to the adjacent landowners was in place of having, having that porta potty or any porta potty set back from their property. Sure. I just, you know, knowing I wouldn't really want to port a party outside of right off of my backyard as I was trying to enjoy it. And then also how often do you I see these stalls for, I guess deliveries or material I think it's number 17.
Oh, is that the place where we store soil?
Yeah.
And fertilizers.
Yeah, and how often are you receiving deliveries?
I was just thinking about that. Usually, in the last year or two, we have about 2.5 yards of age manure, 6 to 10 years old, is what we use there because it doesn't stink and it's pretty well broken down, doesn't burn the plants. So we have about, it's 2.5 yards, about 4 or 5 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other is just compost that we get from the Nancy's got it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I wanted to give you the top number.
So, oh, yeah.
So she got. Come on.
Nancy,
come on.
Would you speak into my
microphone? We use approximately 1.5 cubic yards of composted manure.
Okay.
In a season.
Yeah.
In a season, we use maybe 1.5 gallons of fish emulsion.
Mm-hmm.
They're very organic. People freak out if you even mention chemical fertilizer or insecticides. We have had two bee boxes at our property, he says, and we couldn't use any pesticides. He would not have his bees there if we did.
Yeah.
And then the other element, I just can't see that if the health department knew that that's all we were using, I don't think they'd freak out at all.
Are you open to putting that in your rules?
Definitely. In fact, our members would support that.
Right.
Yeah.
We could easily enforce that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and regarding the porta potty. I've been in the garden since 2013. We didn't have a porta potty for most of the years I've been at the garden.
Okay.
It's a recent thing that we started mainly for Lunch in the Garden fundraiser. And then everybody kind of liked having that.
Yeah.
And it is emptied once a month. And I don't recall it ever smelling.
Oh, that's great.
There's, you know, 49 people come. Mm-hmm. It's not open to the public. And it would be behind the locked gates. So, you know, those people that don't have facilities couldn't use it.
Yeah.
Except delivery people kind of like it.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. yeah. And so... I'm going to wait for my non-exclusive use comments until my last comment. so I see that there are 49 plots. How many plots do you have at the current space? Okay, 49. And do you have a wait list typically? About how many?
Five.
Okay. Yeah.
Last year we had about eight, and most people usually come on because they have to wait for one. But they usually come out volunteering for one party and other nights. They didn't know the gardens.
Is it there? Well, Quincy. But yeah, that's how it normally works. We have five almost all the time.
Okay, so it's not, so there is a wait list, but it's not like extremely long.
No, it's not extremely long. Mm-hmm. You know, there's
Okay.
Yeah, but we have about 20% newcomers every year because mm-hmm.
And so great. And so I think my only, this isn't really a question for you, it's just a comment to consider, is that having been in management of public lands, and I know that there's precedence for this in other areas, I do just generally have concerns about making public land and space and resources available only to some. So it would be my personal recommendation to not have a locked fence, although I do support having locked like storage areas so that, you know, people wouldn't steal your material. And I'm guessing if this was not for public use, if the city did do a locked gate or locked access to the plots, would that be removed from the, even though it's a small, like half acre amount, would that be removed from our level of service number?
Big point.
Mm-hmm.
We talked this over. Some members wanted the gate locked at all times, but I think that what would be the best would be to have a gate that locked and at nightfall and open in the morning.
Okay.
Because we really mm-hmm. want the community and our garden.
Yeah.
We want them to come and have lunch there. We want them to see what you can grow in Sisters. And in the outside of the gate area, we want to have a pollinator pathway. We want to have, mm-hmm. You know, water is such an issue here. We want to teach people what you can grow with the minimum water.
Great.
And deer proof.
Yes. And maybe, and this is like also a professional plug, and maybe fire resistant plants.
Well, that just fits right in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and also too, if you see on the pathway next to the pathway, it's not really marked, but there's a lot of place for fire resistance.
Yeah.
And growing in this country that we hope that we can make use of that. And that would be the very public area. And they would be able to see demonstrations there. And
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of land you can see in the design along
yeah.
the pathway for totally public. Education and you know, if you want to have a firewise garden, then we could do that too.
Yeah,
but you know, we have been gardening there since 2012, and we have a lot of experience with that. We had a berm outside the area,
mm-hmm.
We're all for that.
Great, thank you, Mimi, and thank you for listening to and answering my questions.
Sure. Oh, fine. Yeah. Any others?
Any of the members have questions for them? I just had a question about your budget. You have an operating budget. You have the $35 and such that you, what do you primarily spend that on?
Well, we have a lot. We have been saving money, you know, with our fundraisers. This year we use it for replacing the wood around the around the perimeter of everybody's plots, trying to keep the keep it bug free. So it, as it degrades, we've tried to replace it. We use it for well, the amendments, the soil amendments that we have. We use the budget for events, whether we have luncheon in the garden, and so we use some of the money to prepare that. So we have a community event. And annually, we've had, Nancy has something she wants to say. I can hear
it. And annually, except for this year, we were kind of so put off base by being told we had to move. For the last 6 years, I believe we've had public events to raise. We've taken out of our fund to pay for a musician and our music group to come. And we raise money for Habitat, the food bank, and some veterans programs. We kind of felt compelled to give back to the community.
And we,
And the reason I asked is there any money available for some of the capital improvements that you might want?
We have some money that would be available for capital improvements.
Like that fence on the back, if we had to extend the privacy fence.
We probably could do fundraisers. We've been told by many people in the city that if as soon as we find a place, you can start fundraising help us to get grants. We got grants from this Deschutes Soil and Water Group last year, $3,500 for repairing the beds, which you have to repair the beds and keep them and irrigation and new irrigation testing places, testing gardens. And we do have in place some beds that are movable that we're going to do this year from that $3,500. We're going to experiment with to see which would be easiest movable and what would be more sustainable.
And also drip irrigation. We really want to get our, have our gardeners be even more efficient with irrigation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And can I ask one more question?
Okay.
What would be your sort of minimum time requirement that you would want if there was an agreement between the city and your group for using this space? You mentioned a long-term 25 to 50, 25 years.
We hope,
what would be realistic? Just, I wanna know.
Whatever you would decide would be realistic. Like in Holland's Head, it's $1 a year and the lease is available to be.
They renew it every year.
Every year, don't
they?
Yeah.
That seems a little, I mean.
Short term.
If I were you, I'd want.
The problem with a garden and having a not a permanent place or a long-term lease is that the soil takes a while to build up. People are talking already now that could they is this not on?
You're fine.
Okay. Yes. So the people are already talking about how am I going to move my soil? I build my soil up for the last 12 years. Mm-hmm. And what am I going to do with it? You know, how are we going to move it? Because the soil here, it takes a while to build up. And it isn't just one load. What is it? Seed to table does something like 2,500 or 25,000, I don't know, a huge amount of manure every year for their greenhouses. So it's the building up of the soil. So what we'd like to hope you'd be generous and give us at least 12 years, 10 years.
Okay.
25 is what we'd like.
I saw that.
It's 25 that we'd like because of that, pretty much because of that. And it is onerous to move the whole garden.
Sure.
And we've been so fortunate to have it under such great circumstances.
Well, thank you, Mimi, for coming up and answering the questions.
Sure.
Definitely helped.
Tom, did you have a question or comment? Did you want to talk?
I'm just here to support the garden.
Tom's been our president in the past.
Support. It gives a lot to the community, but the pushback, I mean, the putting back into the community, like food bank, the garden club, it just people learning how to grow their own food, which I think I sent a comment into the city earlier. I don't know if it
got we got it.
That it's a movement of people growing their own food, being healthy. I think it's something that a city like Sisters could support.
Thank you.
Great.
Thanks, Tom.
Well, I think you definitely have the support of many of the members, and I think you're working with the city to, make sure that all those questions get answered. So
certainly, you know, we noticed in some of the agreements with Bend that they charge a tax that goes back to the city, $3 per member. You know, that they charge a tax for using the land. So if you know, there's lots of different ways that we could work together for this if we had the land, and there's a lot of community support at large. We've been guaranteed people to help us move the greenhouse. We've been guaranteed people that'll help us move the boxes. So, I mean, if we get a place, we could get our ducks in a row, and then we could begin further negotiations and conversations with you guys. It'd be great. It would just be great. Well, it's great always talking to you, and really enjoyed working with Scott. And
yeah, and thanks for the great plan. That's well, really informational. Yeah. All right.
So there are two of us here that have been involved since the beginning. We're trying to remember. It's 05 or 06.
Eli, are you okay with some comment?
Yeah, we only have a couple minutes, okay? So please keep it quick.
The whole...
Have some questions. I just have comments.
Yeah, after they're done. Yeah, for sure.
The whole point for starting the community garden when we did was the outgrowth of the development of a vision statement for the city. And it, in fact, I don't know if that one's still around here in City Hall or not, but it was broken into kind of parts. And one of the parts was that all about building community. And that was the whole point of the garden. It wasn't so that we could teach people how to garden. It was to build community. And so from the very, very beginning, it was wanting to include as many people as possible, to not have it turn into a private garden club, to not do any of those kinds of things. And the garden is available for people to walk through in daylight hours, as I understand. I mean, that's what it used to be. Yeah, and the whole point was to encourage people to come. And when I think back to all of the various and sundry activities in the last, almost 20 years that have taken place, both at the old garden where it started and in the new space, we've done a lot for the community beyond the 49 people that grow their gardens there. And I think for sisters particularly, it's an extremely important thing to have as a benefit for a whole lot of reasons and a lot of work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of work has gone into that garden. I can tell you that.
Excellent. So, well, thank you for the history. You. That's very useful. Thank you. Any members of the board have some comments on the community garden they want to share? Nancy?
Sure. Hey, how'd you know? Well, as Gary, our city council rep, made the comment, they get to deal with the big issues and the problems and the comments from the community. And as we learned earlier today, the park system development charges are very small right now. And so the work that the garden people are asking for, I'm assuming would come from park SDCs. And so that will be up to the council to determine, does this move up in the pecking order? Is this project more important allocating funds than a dog park or pickleball court or whatever else they might be delving into? So good luck with that, Gary. And my
thanks, Nancy. Yeah.
My biggest concern is that because residents who already live here have paid the park SDCs, which would be used, I'm assuming, unless you go to general fund, to pay for the improvements that you might ask for, and you might get the water line going in, the electrical line, the blowing out of the irrigation and garbage, I think was also on your list, that priority would be given to city residents because they've already paid the SDCs to acquire that park. Right,
membership in the group would be
yes, that the plots being given out should go to city residents first with a hard deadline or cutoff. It will be open to the general public regardless of where you live after this date, but priority mm-hmm. should be given to city residents because they've paid the SDCs that to get the park to make it go forward. Okay, so that would be the recommendation that I would throw in to the notes to go to city council. And then the rest is a capacity for the park employees. I don't know if Paul has the bandwidth to have employees go in and pick up garbage and weed maintenance, whatever else that might be part of the contract. And so that's a careful consideration also. That's it. But I do support the garden. I think it's a a good amenity for the community. It's a nice community builder. It's a teachable moment, and it carries through with the pollinator park idea from years ago. Those are my comments to pass up to council.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy. Really appreciate your comments on that. And we would have to consider all the recommendations from the city council on what they would like. I mean, we're not opposed to changing our membership or it may our requirements and stuff. Like I had mentioned to Scott earlier, you know, some of the people in Bend, they just charge a flat fee extra for use of the garden that they give to the city and stuff. 49 people isn't a lot, but I mean, we're open to working with that kind of a change if we have to, but because the important part is to get the land. You know, go ahead, Nancy. She wants to say something. Blowing out of the pipes. No, we take care. No. Yeah, we usually take care of the garbage ourselves. Traditionally, but it's something there's a million.
I feel like
there are a lot of working
down the budget, so it doesn't impact Paul and his crew is going to be paramount to this, whatever agreement is worked. All right. Yeah.
We're very protective of that department.
Yeah.
Yeah.
anyone else on the board have any other comments on this issue? No? Okay. Is Jennifer here?
Well, Jennifer's not. I don't know if you wanted to ping if Emily heard if she had any comments or not.
Is that Gary or Emily who raised their hand?
Nobody. I raised my hand for Emily. I just didn't know if she had any comments or not.
Oh, thanks very much for the opportunity. I've been listening intently, and I think that Nancy's comment around the what we'll have to give up in order to support this project is really well taken. And, you know, I also support the idea of the community garden being, you know, a sister's amenity. But I do think we need to weigh that against the other asks, or at least the council does. So thank you very much to the community garden team for putting together a really nice plan and coming to talk to us tonight.
Gary, anything to add?
No, I have nothing to add. I think a lot of the questions that you've asked and some of the comments made by the presenters are very apropos to some of the same ones I had and asked at one of our city council planning sessions a little while back. Look forward to seeing what's brought forward, and that's when the hard questions will start to happen. I think that I really appreciate what Nancy Connolly had to say, and that is that we do have to keep in mind that we're looking at city resources and utilizing city resources that have been collected from taxpayers in the city. And how do we weigh that against the amenity and the value to those of our friends that do not live within the city limits, but live close enough by that they think they do. So, and we think they do too. So those are all things we'll have to consider when it comes up to us. But I didn't hear anything today that scared me. So that's a good sign, but I'm just one of five.
Great. I think I'm Janie Boyle. May I speak for just a moment?
Can you keep it really brief? We're about done.
I will we're running late. I just want you to know that we're not asking for a lot of labor or materials to build out our infrastructure. We've accommodated in this draft plan what we thought would be appealing to the powers that be and also the citizens to have this be a garden park where there's a lot of public area, a way for public to interface with the garden. It appears to be inviting to them. We don't expect to have a lot of this infrastructure paid for by the city. We run with volunteers and donated materials, and that's what we plan. And we may have to phase in some of our dreams, like a shelter for public meetings and, you know, some of the special things that we hope to have, like signage and educational materials. But it's not going to be break the bank deal.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'd advise you guys to just, you know, come to the table now that you've heard kind of what some of the issues that we brought up and what we're thinking about, in addition to, you know, staff time, budgets, things like that. And so, you know, as you're working with the city, keep that in mind. Be proactive with your budgeting and put that into writing that you will volunteer this stuff or create this stuff. I think that will help the process. Okay. Yeah. Is Jen here for
Jen is not here, no.
Is that, it's like, I think all that's left is open business? Does anybody? Yeah,
which I'm gonna open up a small can of I do want to ask the $10 million question because I've had a lot of people ask about the pavilion because maybe I'm a little excited about the concept myself and might have brought it up. I've had students and teachers want to know how and what way they can support or push on this project.
The pavilion, the Northwest?
Yeah. Yes, the $10 million question.
The future Northwest Park.
Because I mean, it's clearly more than half of this whole budget. So I guess I'm curious about is this really going to happen? And if it does, what are we talking, 20 years or 10 years? Or and what can the community do to push it forward? Because I would like to tell people what to do.
A really good sponsor to come forward with $10 million.
Roundhouse.
So it is in the draft goals for City Council to push the original concept to more of a master plan of the site. We are going to be applying for an Oregon Park and Recreation grant to do that work. And we'd like to get that started in the summer. And part of that is going to be a lot of public outreach. And that's where we need to hear from people that you're talking to. And then we're going to have to figure out how to phase this thing. I mean, that's going to be the bottom line. Can't do it in one fell swoop. No, no. So we have some existing park STCs. This STC update's huge, especially with some big projects coming on in town. And I think we can get there, but we're going to have to be creative on, you know, might be able to get the ice rink in for a few years before we put, you know, is it a permanent cover over it or a temporary cover? You know, you look at City of Ashlands or City of Klamath Falls. They have that kind of open air cover and one's permanent and one's portable. So there's different options out there, you know. So it's quite a bit of money. I mean, for the portable ice rink, it's about $1 million. So that's just to get started. Did that help?
It does help. Just curious to pitch this to council. Has any research been done on, say, what Bend Parks and Rec brings in from their facility? Because
$1 million a year.
$1 million a year.
Yep. And they just cover operating expenses.
Really?
Yep. And the majority of that is open skate is where they're getting the revenue from.
Interesting.
Yep.
But they use it in the summer too.
They do.
Not the ice rink,
yeah.
The pavilion.
No, well, right, but that's just...
No, that's $1 million a year, and I'm not sure what the distribution is between summer and winter. Yeah.
When Corey Meisley was here, you all did Redmond Bend, Sun River, I believe, and looked at all of the operation expenses and the size of the arenas. And that was, 2 years of Zoom calls negotiating for that park from that developer. So that gives you an idea of...
Timing,
yeah.
Start of the conversation. Moving, it sounds like.
Yeah, no, it's like I said, it's in the draft council goals, which is where you want it to be. So then it develops right into our work plan.
Yep. And I'll add from the council perspective, we worked on our draft goals the other day, and there's a lot of discussion about that particular location and what might be there and what might not be there and those kinds of things. But I think even if we had a bucket full of money in front of us today, just the process of carefully planning and considering what can or can't go in there, then the design and then the community input, and then even going out to look to try to do better construction, you're at least a couple of years or longer out. And that's my guess. I mean, I'm not an expert on it, but I think that the opportunity to speak to the council related to this will come up. I think you need to keep an eye on the different agendas as they are posted, and certainly the park board will be knowing if this is going to be a topic of discussion, as our other parks, so that you have a chance to give us input prior to the council meeting. But it is on the work plan, and we're pretty good at going down through those goals and paying attention to, at least staff is. Actually, we tell staff what we want to do with these goals. And so we've taken the first step, and that's probably the best answer I can give you today.
Thank you, Gary. Any other open discussion items, any members? All right. Well, sorry we went long tonight, but let's adjourn.
Yeah, that's, I was kind of joking around with that, but a corporate or individual sponsor is going to be needed.
$10 million. Come on, you get someone to cough that up.
As soon as my lottery ticket comes in.